The reading is taken from John chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 1 to verse 17, and then 34 to 35. This can be found on page 1081 of the Church Bibles and on the screen overhead. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know all these things, you will be blessed if you do them. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit who inspired it. We pray that that same Spirit who is here with us this morning will clear our minds and warm our hearts and make us obedient, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd like, if I may, to ask you a personal question. Just have a look around for a moment at the other folk in the church and ask yourselves, how many people do I know here? And how many people do I regard as close friends? Well, you don't have to give me an answer. There's a man called Robin Dunbar who works at Oxford University, at least he did, and he was the head of the Social and Evolutionary Neuroscience Research Group in the Department of Experimental Psychology at Oxford University. So I assume he's clever. And he is best known for formulating what's called Dunbar's number. which is a measurement of, and I quote, the cognitive limit to the number of individuals with whom any one person can maintain stable relationships. Okay? He's also an expert on baboons. Now, Dunbar's number is 150. That is, he says, you can only know 150 people. Now, not everyone agrees with that, but we'll go along with Dunbar because he's a bright spark. And he says, to get some idea of what knowing means, it's the number of people you would not feel embarrassed about joining uninvited for a drink if you happen to bump into them in a bar. So that's clear. Now, as far as close friends are concerned, wait for it. He says 3 to 5. Now, of course, that doesn't include family. So here is Jesus sitting round a table in an upper room with 12 men. And he says to them, love one another. So here's a question. Which is easier, to love 12 people or to love 150? That is, all the ones that you know, all the people you know. Well, I'm not going to give an answer to that. You work it out. But the instruction, love one another, applies to us today, to all of us, whether we think we have 12 people that we know or 150 or more. Let's just think about the setting for a moment. Jesus and his friends are reclining around a low table. They're reclining, not sitting at the table. They're lying with their heads on their arms, on their hands, and their elbows on the floor, and they're probably on cushions. During the meal, as we heard, Jesus performs certain actions. He gets himself ready, and he goes round and washes the disciples' feet. In the story, Peter objects. And the story ends with Jesus, as it were, coming up with a moral. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. In other words, he says, you're to love and serve one another. Now, I assume that those apostles, those original disciples, are the sort of prototype of the Christian church. And what Jesus is saying is that they are identified by their love for one another. So at verse 35 of today's reading, he says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. It's the mark of the Christian church or the Christian community. It's interesting, isn't it, that one of the people there is Judas Iscariot, the sort of maggot in the apple or the tare among the wheat. But he's to be loved as well. And the mark of the Christian church, therefore, is love and service, like foot washing. So my question is that how the world actually sees us? Does it recognize that we are Jesus Christ's disciples? Someone came up with a list of complaints in a Christian magazine that had been made about the behavior of Christians. And these were some of the things that were said. You don't listen to me. This is the non-Christian world speaking. You don't listen to me. You judge me. Is that what people think of us? You confuse me. You talk about what's wrong instead of making it right. In other words, you're negative. Now, we may well say, well, it's just not true. But if that's the way people perceive us, then we have something to think about there. In a university, there was a poll done. And the question that was being asked was this. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word Christianity? And the most common answer was people who don't practice what they preach. Ouch. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And he demonstrates love in terms of service. So we are, as it were, the servant church. That's the ideal anyway. So how do we do it in practice? How do we love one another? Well, Jesus washes feet. When did you last have your feet washed? I was running a mission in Belfast some years ago, and at the end of it, when we had a sort of team briefing, one of the members of the team, who's now actually a vicar, said to me, I'd like to wash the feet of the team. So I said, fine, yeah, that sounds a good idea. And it was a bit novel, but so he went round in our meeting, and everyone took off their shoes and socks or whatever they were wearing and had their feet washed. It was a delightful sensation. And he did more than Jesus did, because he put talc on after he'd dried them. And I felt humbled as he washed my feet. But I saw that what he was doing was something very humble, as Jesus' action was a very humble action and sacrificial. But how do we practice foot washing or service to one another in reality? Now, I use that little expression, one another. If you go through the New Testament and look up one another, you'll find that it comes about 29 or 30 times. We're to love one another, to forgive one another, to pray for one another, to be devoted to one another, to be kind to one another, to build one another up, and so on. One really hard one another is this one from James chapter 5. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. That's hard. There was a university freshers' fair. It's sort of right at the beginning of the year when all the university clubs put out a stall and let people know what they do. And so the Christian Union, had a stall. And on this, it said that they would talk about the Christian faith to anyone who wanted to stop. And what they did was this. Instead of telling people about the Christian faith, the Christians confessed their sins and they apologized to the other students for the errors that have been made by the church down the centuries right up till today. That went down in a rather interesting way. I find it very difficult to confess to sins. And yet I'm aware that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He came not for the well, but for the sick. Maybe we need to do a bit more confessing of errors and sins to one another. In another university, I don't know why I'm talking about universities. Anyway, in another university, they showed a film, and it was a film which rather poked fun at the Christian faith and at Christian evangelists and so on. And at the end of it, the person who was running the show, it wasn't in an ordinary cinema, it was a private thing. The person who was running it said, is there anyone here who's a Christian? And a man got up and said, yes, I'm Christian. Well, how do you respond to the film? And he said, I want to apologize for all the wrongs that have been done in God's name. Now, the interesting thing was that people came up to him afterwards and thanked him for apologizing and confessing sin. So how are we going to love in practice? Jesus says in our reading at verse 17, Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So how are we going to do it? Well, one thing we could do would be to check through those 29 one another's. You can do it online. There are various Bible aids online which you can do, or you can use a concordance. And then decide on one or two of them and say, that's what I'm going to do. For example, you might decide that giving time to another person would be a good thing to do. Find someone that you could give time to. Or it could be something to do with hospitality. Is there someone I could give a meal to? Or invite round for a cup of coffee or whatever? Now, some of you, I know, are brilliant at doing this sort of thing. Absolutely brilliant at it. But others of us could certainly do better. The big danger with loving one another is this, that we think that to love one another means to be nice. We all want to be nice. There's a very nasty picture of a church which I read about. A place where a nice, pleasant, bland person stands up in front of other nice, pleasant, bland people, urging them to be nicer, more pleasant, and more bland. Well, I hope that isn't us. Now, here's a problem. If we're all going to be giving love, who's going to be receiving it? You see, there are those disciples round the U-shaped table, and Jesus embarrasses them. They must have been red-faced when they saw their Lord and teacher getting up and putting on the towel round his waist and going round with a bowl of water. And Peter, of course, impulsively says, well, you're not going to do it to me. No way, Jose. I wonder what tone of voice he had in verse 8 of our reading. Be interesting, wouldn't it, to have been there as a fly on the wall? The first requirement of a Christian is to let Jesus serve you. And the only contribution you will make, as in the case of the disciples, will be your dirt. That's the only thing you've got to give him, your dirt. And he comes along, as with the foot washing, and cleanses it away. But you've got to let him do that for you. The second requirement of a Christian is then to let others love you and serve you. When did you last feel loved in church? Well, when I think about it, I think this. I feel loved in church when someone listens to me attentively. So I feel loved at the moment because I think you're listening to me. I feel loved when someone makes me feel I matter. I count. I feel loved when someone encourages me or thanks me. And of course I feel loved when someone shows me affection. Someone did a survey. It's a stupid one, really. What things do we most like to hear? What expression do we most like to hear? And the answer was a threefold one. The first, I love you. We love to hear that, don't we? Of course we do. The second was, I forgive you. We love to hear that. You'll never guess what the third one was. Supper's ready. Paul, writing to the Romans, said this, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. I started with a question, so I'll leave you with another one. What is the church for? Answer on a postcard. Well, there are all sorts of answers that you might give. You might say, well, the church is to worship God. We're here to worship God. Or it might be to tell the good news. Or it might be to be the good news of God's kingdom. But I'll come up with another one based on today's reading. The church is here to dispense love. Give it away to one another and to the world outside. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for your humility, your willingness to serve us, sinners. Thank you that we count for something in your sight. We matter to you. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. You pour your love into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be a truly loving people, genuine in our love for one another, practical in our love for one another. And so may we prove to be your disciples. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.